The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Don't forget, we've got the live stream that is being broadcasted on the trumpet.com website. The address for that, thetrumpet.com/, it's not a backslash, it's a /live, and you can get right to it. Although today it's made even easier because we've got a big, beautiful banner right at the top of the trumpet.com website, and all you've got to do is click on that button. And it'll take you right to the live stream video. So we're doing our best to transition over to thetrumpet.com, our own platform, just in case anything happens with the YouTube channel. We're still quite happy to broadcast on YouTube. We know that that does expose us to a larger audience in many ways. And we love the tracking of views and that sort of thing that it helps with. So we'll stay on there for as long as they will have us. Well, CNN just announced that their CNN Airport Network, that's been going on now for something like 30 years, I believe, that's finally going to be shut down. So here is one decision that's probably going to stimulate more air travel than lifting the lockdown ever would. I think March 31 is the date for that. I'm not sure what it will be replaced with. All of these, for those of you that live outside the United States, it's almost a running joke with the news that they carry in pretty much every airport in the United States of America. They're all just locked in on CNN, so it'll be nice to see. Well, I'm not getting my hopes up. It probably won't be anything that much better that the airports put in CNN's place. But we'll see. And maybe it'll make air travel, at least when you're spending some time in airports, a little bit more enjoyable. Well, in all seriousness, Joel Hilliker sent out a Trumpet brief last night, an excellent piece. He referred back to this article my father wrote there at the end of 2006. I think it might have appeared in the print edition in 2007. They're showing you the article by Mr. Hilliker on the screen right now. But he refers back to this piece my father wrote 14 years ago about the radical left. It was when Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, the radical Democrats, won the majority, and Nancy Pelosi became the Speaker of the House. And my father said, you know, this does not look good for the United States of America. And with respect to Mr. Hilliker's piece, he said last night, America's dark future, unless God intervenes, it is a dark future that we're facing. Unless God intervenes to continue with the temporary resurgence. He said at the end of the piece, by all appearances, things in America have never looked darker. But then he went on to write, but a great deal of history and of prophecy shows that it's when things look darkest that God delivers his greatest miracles. That's what we can look for. That's what we can hope for in faith. That's what we can pray for, that God's will be done. When things look the darkest, that's when God delivers his greatest miracles. It looks pretty dark for the United States right now. European leaders that won't even receive the Secretary of State. Pretty amazing. And they're following CNN's cue. CNN has told the world that this protest that got out of control last Wednesday, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to the United States. What was it that Liz Cheney said? She was quoted at the top of the hour. The worst offense by a sitting president? You mean Barack Obama going after his opponents, using the weaponizing the departments of government to persecute his opponents, even the incoming president of the United States? And here President Trump, he gives a speech. He draws attention to the fact that the election was rigged, which everyone in America knows it was. Even Democrats acknowledge this. And then he says, now go and protest peacefully. That's what he told them to do. And then when it turned violent, he came out and denounced it. Which is more than you can say for any prominent Democrat leader when the rioting was going on for months last summer. It looks pretty dark. The president gave a speech at the Alamo, as it happens, down in Texas at the border. The border fence, I guess they've completed 450 miles of this massive border wall. And he was down there to celebrate that. I saw online that he was about to give the speech. I called into my father's office and I said, hey, the president's about to speak. I know he's been pretty much silent for 6 days and hasn't really been seen. So you might want to flip on the news and watch the speech. Well, as it turns out, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News even, none of them carried it. And from what I could tell, I was watching it online. It was online. It was available online, but not on the cable channels. And I was looking at the lower thirds, the chyrons and such, and I couldn't even see anything to suggest that he was giving a speech. The president of the United States, in one of his final speeches. And there were the news networks. What did they have in the place of the president? Well, they had a representative, I guess, from the FBI or the DOJ talking about the arrests or the investigations that are going on following the January 6th violence at Capitol Hill. And they've got something like 160 case files, 160 investigations, basically. And there are people being prosecuted. They're going to be going into jail. They're having to lawyer up, as I said yesterday. And that's fine. If they broke the law, they brought that upon themselves. But the fact that you saw none of this, or if you did see any arrests last summer, they were immediately let go. That's what has so many people in America just disgusted. A two-tiered system of justice. You can read through the book of Amos, the book of Habakkuk, and you read how that there's no justice in the land. How that people are oppressed because of those in leadership. So here they're carrying this news conference by these reps from the DOJ and the FBI, and then they had, I think the questions were coming in from the phone. So, I mean, it didn't even make for very good television. Meanwhile, you've got the President of the United States. You've got the President of the United States speaking in South Texas about border security. He made some comments, too, about the sham impeachment proceedings and what's happening following on the events of last week. And nobody covers it. It's like the president doesn't exist anymore, at least not with the media. YouTube, by the way, they followed in the path of Twitter and Facebook and all these other social media companies. Now YouTube has canceled the president's YouTube account, saying that what's on that account had a potential for violence. You could get onto the president's YouTube channel and potentially turn violent. And again, you think about all the filth and all of the violence that's actively promoted on YouTube. And they remove the President of the United States' channel. Real Clear Politics wrote about the great social silencing. And they pointed out, listen to this, just one short quote. They point out how the courts have repeatedly ruled. This is going back to the 4 years of his presidency. This is going back to before January 6th. The courts have repeatedly ruled that Trump's Twitter account is an official government outlet, and thus he is prohibited from blocking users with whom he disagrees. So when the president was running his Twitter account, that's when he had a Twitter account. when he was running his Twitter account, he couldn't even block people from viewing it because, hey, the courts had ruled. This is an official government account, and so everyone should have access, even your enemies. Well, now, what are the courts going to say now that Twitter has decided to ban the president? Forget about the people that wanted to follow him. Now the president, all of his 88 million followers, all of the content, just completely blotted out. You know what's pretty fascinating to watch amid all of this? You watch some of the live broadcasts at Right Side Broadcasting. They're pro-Donald Trump during the rallies and such. Sometimes they'd get 200, maybe 300,000 views. Even as Fox News, if they did carry the rally, would get something like 40 or 50,000 views. Yesterday, again, with none of the cable stations carrying the president's speech, Right Side Broadcasting had, at its peak, 809,000 people watching the president of the United States speak at the Alamo, speak in South Texas, speak at the border fence. And really, the speech was not that spectacular. Maybe the 809,000 people were hoping for more. But this just shows you, I mentioned the other day, how that even after the protests of January the 6th, we see his popularity, the president's popularity rising. The people, you see, they still love him. The people still support him. But it's in the swamp. It's within the media that he's ignored. Here's what he said at the start of his speech before he got into the talk of border security. He talked about some of the more recent events. Clip one.
Before we begin, I'd like to say that free speech is under assault like never before. The 25th Amendment is of zero risk to me, but will come back to haunt Joe Biden and the Biden administration. As the expression goes, be careful what you wish for. The impeachment hoax is a continuation of the greatest and most vicious witch hunt in the history of our country and is causing tremendous anger and division and pain, far greater than most people will ever understand, which is very dangerous for the USA, especially at this very tender time.
It's amazing because he's the one that's seen as the tyrant, the authoritarian. And you listen to the few times that he's been allowed to speak to the public. And yesterday, the channels didn't, OAN, I guess, did, at Right Side Broadcasting online. But they didn't even bring this message. He's telling America, look, this is dangerous. This is dangerous. He still has a lot of support. None of them have abandoned the president. We're talking about 75 to 80 million who voted for him. You leave aside the election fraud. It's probably 80, maybe 80 plus million Americans. And the support for him is increasing. And he says to Pelosi, and he says to the swamp, what you're doing, trying to pressure Mike Pence into invoking the 25th Amendment, carrying on with this impeachment. Who knows what then happens in the Senate? It's dangerous. There's Americans who are angry. People are already fired up, and here come the radical leftist revolutionaries. And they want, like we've said in our literature, they want a civil war. And that's what they're provoking. It's not enough to get rid of Trump. You've got to go after the movement. You've got to go out. You've got to do everything that you can to tar and feather this president so that he hopefully never, ever comes back again. There's the speech that no one saw except online, of course. And again, think of these dark times that we're in. Here's the actual president of the United States. The media ignore it, the speech. He can't get a message through to the American people on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. And then on the other side, you've got a fake president, and he can barely get 14 vehicles to a car honking rally. That's the upside down world in which we're living in the United States. By the way, you look at, speaking of Twitter and social media, there was the laugh out loud story yesterday coming out of Uganda. They've got, I guess, a presidential election there. And this is from The Federalist. It says the president of Uganda temporarily banned Facebook and Twitter from the country this week in the final hours leading up to the elections on Thursday, arguing the platforms engaged in unfair censorship to prop up the opposition candidate. Twitter and Facebook? You mean they're engaging in unfair censorship? Well, everyone in America has experienced this. We've seen it. And it's getting worse by the day. This article says the spokesman for the Ugandan president, he took aim at Facebook in particular in an interview with the AP for stripping accounts linked to the incumbent's campaign. And this is the spokesman's quote. Facebook is interfering in the electoral process of Uganda. If people wanted to have evidence of outside interference, now they have it. So Uganda comes along and says, fine, we're going to ban you. You think Facebook liked this? You think Twitter liked it? Twitter, without an ounce of self-awareness, came out with a statement that said, ahead of the Ugandan election, we're hearing reports that internet service providers are being ordered to block social media and messaging apps. We strongly condemn internet shutdowns. They are hugely harmful, violate basic human rights, and the principles of the open internet. That's from Twitter. That's from Jack Dorsey. That's from his company. A total lack of self-awareness. You can't make this up. You cannot make this up. They banned the president of the United States. You can't hear the president's voice on Twitter. And you can't hear Twitter or see Twitter in Uganda. And Twitter doesn't like that at all. That's censorship. That's the way they react when the tables are turned. I say good for Uganda. Shut it out. Keep it out. Why not? Why not? Why let them have final say on everything? Why let them be in the position of God, like they can decide what's right and what's wrong? Of course, we know we're in the midst of this free-for-all, this Judges 21-25 period because of our sins. It's not just a problem with social media. The problem runs much deeper than that. Prior to his speech yesterday, before he got on Marine One outside the White House, the president made a few comments in front of the pool of reporters about the sham impeachment. Round two, another impeachment hearing. This is clip two.
On the impeachment, it's really a continuation of the greatest witch hunt in the history of politics. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. This impeachment is causing tremendous anger, and you're doing it, and it's really a terrible thing that they're doing.
You're playing with fire, he says to the House Democrats. You are playing with fire. There's a lot of anger and discontent. Half the nation knows that the election was stolen, and so to do this, and yet they're going to do it. We're probably an hour or two away from the president being impeached again. Why? Well, because he's guilty of insurrection. Why? Because, well, he tried to overthrow Congress. There's not even going to be any House managers. No fact-finding investigation, nothing like that. No, certainly no due process for the president's team. There's no time for it. And so what do? We just ramrod it through. We put it on the fast track and just send it to a vote. And here again, in the spirit of things you cannot make up, Eric Swalwell, he's part of the committee, the leaders that are going to bring on this impeachment. Eric Swalwell of Fang Fang fame, the compromised congressman, the congressman sleeping with the Chinese spy. He's one of the managers of this sham impeachment. As I say, you cannot make this up. Before all of this, you had Nancy Pelosi pressuring Mike Pence and others in the Trump administration to invoke the 25th Amendment. He is not stable, says Pelosi. He is incapacitated. He cannot function. He cannot fulfill his obligations as a president. He's dangerous. Mike Pence, to his credit, would have none of it. And of course, this follows the attempt last week by Pelosi to basically steal away the nuclear codes. She went to the Pentagon to say, hey, you've got to take away the nuclear codes from President Trump. He's too dangerous. This is, let's call it what it is, this is the coup attempt. This is an ongoing continuation of what was happening at the end of 2016, once Donald Trump shocked the world by defeating Hillary Clinton. And you want to talk about presidents guilty of treason or insurrection. Let's go back to 2016 and let's continue the story right through this rolling coup, as we've discussed, that continues right through to today. This was Jim Jordan, the congressman, the Republican congressman, yesterday talking about this push, this pressure in Congress to whatever it takes. In this case, he's referring to invoking the 25th Amendment to get the president out. Here's Congressman Jim Jordan, clip 8.
This is scary. This is frightening what's happening. With less than 1 hour of debate, the Democrats bring a rule to the floor that says this: you can say anything you want about the president of the United States of America. No rules of decorum about what you say about the leader of our country. The rule is for the bill that says we should tell the vice president of the United States to work to remove the president of the United States. I've been here 14 years. I've never seen anything like this. And I do not know where this ends. I do not know where it ends, but it is dangerous where they're taking us. You couple this with what we're seeing with the cancel culture mob out there, I do not know where this takes us. I fear for the First Amendment. I fear for the Second Amendment. I fear for the Bill of Rights. I fear for the Constitution. I do not know where this takes us, but it is scary what they are throwing in a bill that we're going to debate for less than an hour.
Where is this leading? Well, we know Bible prophecy shows us that civil war, sadly, there will be another civil war in the United States of America. We don't know what the final trigger will be, but the anger, as the president noted, the resentment, the hatred, the division, it's building. It's building. Hillary Clinton had an opinion piece yesterday in the Washington Post. She said Trump ran for president on a vision of America where whiteness is valued at the expense of everything else. So here we are back to race baiting. Here we are with these prominent Democrats wanting to turn this into a white versus black thing. They think this will help the United States. She said removing Trump from office is essential, and I believe he should be impeached. Members of Congress who joined him in subverting our democracy should resign. And those who conspired with the domestic terrorists should be expelled immediately. So that movement, all of those protesters last Wednesday, a week ago today, they're terrorists. They're domestic terrorists. The ones last summer, they're protesters. They're freedom fighters. They're to be supported. They're to be bailed out. She says, but that alone won't remove white supremacy and extremism from America. So even taking these steps, it's not going to remove it. So what do we do? Well, I mean, it's in our DNA, said Barack Obama. How do you extract that? How do you get it out? Are they really seeking peace and unity? Are they seeking a time for healing? Not at all. You've got to give the Democrats, as I've said, you've got to give them credit. They stand together. They are all in on persecuting this president and his followers. they're also, I think, fearful and concerned about the level of popularity. You're not going to show it on, you're not going to show it on the news networks, the president's speech. Well, nearly a million people go and find it at Right Side Broadcasting. That surely was a record for them yesterday. 809,000 viewers for a relatively boring speech in the middle of the afternoon on a workday. Then you look at the rallies. Then you look at the numbers. Then you consider the election fraud and the fact that Joe Biden, he was hidden in the basement all through the campaign season. We've never seen anything like it. And then one time he comes out, he says, we've got the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in history. And did he ever? Did he ever? You had fraudulent votes coming in from all over the place. Listen to the president yesterday as he's talking about, this is how the major media cover him. So this was one instance where MSNBC did get the live feed of what the president was saying to the press pool. But then notice where they cut him off. Notice where they come away from the president and then back to the studio and consider what he's talking about right at the moment that they cut him off. This is clip three.
What is your role in what happened at the Capitol? What is your personal responsibility?
So if you read my speech, and many people have done it, and I've seen it both in the papers and in the media, on television, it's been analyzed, and people thought that what I said was totally appropriate. And if you look at what other people have said, politicians at a high level, about the riots during the summer, the horrible riots in Portland and Seattle and various other places.
We are coming out of this now because the president has started to, as he occasionally does, often does, veer away from the truth. His video that he taped on Wednesday after the riots were happening at the Capitol was not viewed widely as totally appropriate. In fact, many people argued they were highly inappropriate and that he told the people who were rioting, the mob who was descending on the Capitol, that they were very special and that he loved them.
Oh, okay. Thank you, MSNBC. So the video that was well received by so many people, MSNBC comes forward and says, well, actually, it wasn't well received. So this is another case where he was lying. But you'll notice what he was talking about there in that soundbite. He said, you go back and look at my speech, and then you look at how I came out and denounced the violence and compare that with what prominent Democrat leaders were saying, or in most cases were not saying, when rioters were destroying the cities of America. Go ahead, compare it. And there's an MSNBC anchor that didn't want to hear any of it. They want to blot out their own history just from a few months ago. That doesn't count. That doesn't matter. They've already revised it. They've said, as I played yesterday, look, when those BLM protests happened last summer, there were Apache helicopters all over the place. There were protesters being cracked in the skull. Didn't happen. Total lie. They lie, you see. And here they are cutting away from the president right as he gets to the point of saying, where were the people, these self-righteous, where were these self-righteous Democrats last summer when American businesses were being burned to the ground, when businesses all over the country were being looted by rioters? They had, just to give you a bit of a flashback, they had this resolution that they tried to pass through Congress in, I believe it was early July. So just a few months ago, and the point of the resolution was to basically condemn rioting. And do you know that the Democrats would not sign on to that resolution? This was Senator Mike Lee on July 2nd, just a few months back, clip four.
I just proposed a non-binding resolution condemning mob violence, and Senate Democrats objected. I don't know whether to be outraged or embarrassed for them. This isn't even a bill. It's just a statement that says mob violence is bad. that Democrats can't say mob violence is bad without simultaneously taking a jab at the president of the United States? By the way, what about the mayor of Seattle? What about the city council of Minneapolis? What about the countless other people who have perpetuated or enabled or facilitated or coddled mob violence across the country? People are being shot. Businesses are being looted. Innocent Americans are being attacked and threatened. Lives are being ruined. Communities are burning, literally burning. So whose side are you on? This resolution was designed to be unifying.
That's Mike Lee from last summer talking about businesses being burned and lives ruined. And the radical leftist Democrats couldn't even come out and say, you know what? Mob violence is bad. They couldn't say it. They could not say it. Today? Well, you listen to them today, and now they, very quickly, they are the party of law and order. And what we saw a week ago was an armed coup, an attempted coup against the government of the United States, led by the president, an armed insurrection. The president was trying to overthrow Congress. That's in the impeachment articles for today. The president about to be impeached in just a few hours, perhaps an hour or two, because of this so-called armed insurrection. One of the leaders of this so-called insurrection, you know, the guy donning the Viking cap. Listen to what he said in an interview. I didn't quite get the date on this. I don't know if it was from this recent protest or from something previous to last week. But you'll certainly recognize this guy. There was pictures of him all over the place after those protesters stormed into some of them, that is. The others walked very peacefully through the congressional halls taking pictures. But here's one of the ringleaders, and listen to him on clip 6.
What I do is I practice something known as shamanism. And in shamanism, they sing, they dance, they drum, and they inform the community. They dress up in a way that chases off evil spirits. The singing and the drumming is about chasing off evil spirits because sound actually precedes electromagnetic activity. So when you sing and you drum, especially when you do so really loudly, you end up affecting the quantum realm. And this has been being done for thousands of years to ward off evil spirits, ward off negative timelines, and to basically bring positive energy. So part of the reason why I dress this way is because if we were going to have like a infiltrator or something like that, they'd be a witch, they'd be a sorcerer or something like that on the dark side. So I practice life magic. I practice the light side or the positive side of shamanism. And when they see me, they go, oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a joke. This is a joke. This is a protest that turned ugly. There's no getting around that. There was also infiltration coming from Antifa. There's no getting around that. The guy standing right next to the gal shot in the neck. Antifa. They were in there. They had infiltrated. Apparently, they weren't afraid of the Viking hat. The infiltrators, I mean. What a joke this is. It's an embarrassment for sure. This is the seat of our democracy. It shouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened if the police would have just kept the doors locked. As it is, they opened them wide open, brought in the protesters. There were some people in powerful places that knew what they were doing. They knew how to manipulate the crowd. And like my father's pointed out, anytime you get a 500,000 people out in a speech or a protest or whatever it is, there's always going to be the potential for some bad eggs in the number. But comparatively, compared to what happened last summer, you couldn't even get a Democrat to sign on and say, you know what, mob violence is wrong. It's bad. And now they're pointing to, I guess, this guy and others like him as being the leaders of a great insurrection that we haven't seen maybe since 1812. An attack on the capital of the United States. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she talked about just how terrified she was last week, clip 7.
As for myself,
I had a pretty traumatizing event happen to me. And I do not know if I can even disclose the full details of that event due to security concerns, but I can tell you that I had a very close encounter where I thought I was going to die.
Okay, well, you said about a month ago that if you feel uncomfortable with these riots or these protests, that's the way you should feel. That's the whole point. So if you were a little uncomfortable when they were coming into the halls of Congress, that's the way you should feel, going by your own logic, going by your own reaction to the protests from last year. I don't believe it for a second. I don't believe it for a second. But there she is. There she is, right on. And the media is so happy to just lap it up. Oh, yes. She was frightened. She feared for her life. There was just one individual in all of that violence and unrest that got shot and killed. And that was the unarmed protester that was trying to get through that doorway, that was trying to get into that hallway in Congress, shot dead by the police. By the police. The police using force to try to keep it under control. They didn't do that last year. They didn't have the Apache helicopters. They certainly didn't shoot to kill last year. They took a knee. They took a knee, or they evacuated the precinct and they let it burn to the ground. And now you've got these 160 cases. I mean, it shows you the power of the FBI and the DOJ. When they really want to go after crime, they have the power and they have the resources to do it. But again, we ask, where were you last year? Where were those 160 cases last year? And if 50 or 60 were rounded up and arrested, why were they let go so quick? You look at the darkness that Mr. Hilliker talks about in his trumpet brief. Joe Biden has been busy selecting individuals for his administration. This Juliette Kayyem, she's a Harvard Press professor, a CNN analyst. Well, I'll get to the appointment of this other gal in a second. But let me just give you, again, an example of a commentator on CNN. This woman is a Harvard professor, so she's teaching American children at Harvard. But even more shocking than that is she used to work for the Department of Homeland Security. And so CNN, they bring her, you know, to the camera, knowing what she's going to say, and listen to what she said yesterday, clip 5.
And I think what we have to remember is Trump is the spiritual, but I will also say operational leader of this domestic terrorism effort. He tells them where to go. He tells them what to do. He tells them why they're angry. And so we need to start at the top, like any counterterrorism effort, which is total isolation of the president of the United States. Impeachment, yes. 25th Amendment, yes. Deplatforming, yes. All of the above. No money, no access to campaign funds. A complete isolation, because as the leader of a terrorist organization is viewed as a loser, as a not winner, it is harder for him to recruit. Look, he's going to have his radical elements. We will arrest them. We will isolate them. But what we have to make sure is that Donald Trump does not have a second act. I know I sound incredibly harsh right now calling the president this, but we are in the tactical response right now. Enough with the let's unity and stuff. This is a tactical effort right now to make sure that we protect American citizens and, of course, the next president of the United States.
And I love Jim Sciutto there. He's the one that, remember, he was one of the first ones to come out on the Russian dossier. This former Obama official. He's there now at CNN, and he's in full agreement with this crackpot who's saying President Trump is a terrorist. And we've got to cut off funding. And like I covered yesterday, that's why his banks are abandoning him. He's been shut out of social media. We've got to isolate him, says this woman. This Harvard instructor, this former DHS employee. He's got to be isolated. And we've got to be thinking about the future and how we can eliminate him for good in order to protect the American people. Well, as I said, with respect to Joe Biden, Tucker Carlson reported last night this pick that he had to head up the civil rights division of the DOJ. This is a woman that presumably is going to be in the Department of Justice. And she, I guess I won't play the clip for you, but as Tucker covered last night, she was quoted as saying years ago that blacks have a greater mental and physical and spiritual ability than do whites. So she's a black supremacist, and she's installed as the head of the Civil Rights Division, the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice. Dark, indeed, dark times for America. Joel Hilliker's trumpet brief, America's dark future unless God intervenes. He says, by all appearances, the radical left in America is on the cusp of complete victory. There is a legitimate fear that with its grip on the presidency, the House, and Senate, it will have unchecked power to transform America into an utterly different country. This is why biblical prophecy is such an invaluable source of hope. And so he refers to my father's article from a few months back on Donald Trump and his presidency. Continuing, he refers to all the booklets and articles and publications that we've produced on Bible prophecy over the last many years. And then he gives an example here. He says, just to take one forecast from my father, and this is where he refers back to that article from 14 years ago, and the danger that America faces. Mr. Hilliker says, the freshness and relevance of this warning are stark. He wrote these words right after the 2006 midterm elections in which Democrats swept into control of Congress. This dramatic victory foreshadowed what appears to be happening today. And Mr. Flurry sounded the clarion alarm. And then it quotes my father, I believe the 2006 midterm elections changed American politics forever. This is my father writing. You don't need deep biblical understanding to realize that something is dreadfully wrong in this country. America is being cursed. America is being cursed. Who can deny that today when you look at the nation? He says, the election of the Democrats, I believe, reveals the desperate lack of will in our people. That's quoting from my father 14 years ago. I believe 14 years ago this month. Mr. Hilliker says, think about the message America is sending the world right now. Evidence of election fraud is devastating, yet virtually the entire press and political establishment accepts it. Even those who oppose it have rolled over and stopped fighting. You see, the events of January 6th, followed by the intense, unhinged, almost demonic pressure coming from the major media, the propaganda media. And suddenly the facts have changed. Suddenly there was no election fraud. Suddenly we can't even talk about it. All because of a protest gone wrong. All because of a protest infiltrated by Antifa. All because of a media narrative based upon the same storyline we've seen for 5 years, hatred for Donald Trump. It says the nation looks ready to rush back to the radical politics of Barack Obama and far worse, as we've been saying, the Joe Obama administration. OAN, yesterday, by the way, had an excellent segment on election fraud, and it was refreshing to hear because, of course, this has now been completely and totally obscured by the craziness, the insanity, the derangement of the past week. You move all of that aside, you push aside all of the propaganda, and again, just focus in on the facts, which is exactly what the major media, the legacy media, They don't want you to focus in on this. They don't want you to hear this message. And there's only a very, very, very few, only a few outlets that will even go here. Here's the OAN broadcast yesterday, this reporter discussing the election fraud from November 3rd, clip 10.
Democrats seem to have come completely unhinged in the few days since January 6th. They've engaged in an information war and called on big corporations to deplete money and resources from anyone who supports President Trump. With less than 10 days from the transition, why would Democrats risk alienating so many Americans? It appears that Democrats are concerned the real facts about the election could take center stage and want to create a media frenzy on anything but the facts surrounding the election. For example, Pennsylvania had over 1.5 million fraudulent votes counted, and the spread is less than 82,000 votes. These fraudulent votes come from dead voters, ballots that were received before they were supposedly mailed out, and over 330,000 electronic spikes from the voting machine. 205,000 overvotes, meaning there were 205,000 more votes than registered voters, and 682,000 ballots that were illegally processed without any oversight whatsoever. More than 1.5 million votes in Pennsylvania is apparently what it took for Joe Biden to steal the state. Georgia has a similar phenomenon that Democrats are failing to account for. 66,248 underage voters voted in Georgia. 10,315 dead people voted. 2,500 convicted felons voted. Nearly 200,000 votes were fraudulently inserted into the vote count instantaneously. 4,500 votes come from unregistered voters. These numbers show a clear pattern that a variety of types of fraud occurred in this election and that Democrats are desperately trying to cover it up. They're going to great lengths to change the narrative of the election fraud in an effort to run out the clock to January 20th, 2020. In Arizona, the final result is only a difference of 10,457, yet 36,400 non-citizens voted in the state. Arizona also experienced phantom spikes from the voting machines to the tune of roughly 50,000 additional votes going to Joe Biden. These numbers come from information that is publicly available, whether from the Secretary of State's website before the content was removed or from the raw data that was pushed out on election night.
Pretty amazing. No evidence. No evidence, say the propaganda media elites. And she says, where does this information come from? It comes from publicly available information. In other words, websites that are there produced by the states themselves, either from that or from raw data pushed out on election night. It's there, and a lot of this now is being scrubbed. A lot of this information is now being deleted. Several of these Secretary of States are going into their own websites, their own databases, and erasing this. They want to erase it. They want to blot it out because it's evidence. And you're not supposed to see evidence because there is none. And if you even talk about it, you talk about stealing the election, then you're going to be banned. You're going to be scrubbed. My father, in that piece from 14 years ago, he talked about what happens when these Marxist revolutionaries dominate the government. Well, now look at where we are today. It's a deadly curse, as he said 14 years ago. Mr. Hilliker wrote last night, and unless God intervenes, that's exactly what will happen. Well, he was talking about my father saying, you know, look at what happens when these kinds of people get control. Mr. Hilliker says, we must face this reality squarely. Just how great of a curse on America would it be? Think of the arbitrary, autocratic measures our leaders enacted overnight to confront coronavirus. Think of the barefaced hostility to freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, and the right to bear arms. Look at the clampdowns on free speech that big tech companies have summarily imposed. Think of the leaders calling for Americans who demonstrated in Washington last week to be treated like terrorists. Then think of how these very leaders applauded race riots this past summer and told law enforcement to stand down as cities burned. He talks some about the foreign policy that these kinds of leaders promote. We saw it with the Obama presidency and the deal that he struck right in the last year of his second term, the Iran nuke deal. It says here, it was 14 years ago that Nancy Pelosi first came to power. And my father commented then how that Democrats were so excited that they could now get San Francisco values into the Washington swamp, as we now know it is. It says, now Speaker Pelosi's House is working to officially eliminate all language acknowledging differences between male and female, and they're just getting started. Mr. Hilliker says, God is cursing America for its rank vileness by taking away quality leadership. Well, he's quoting my father here. The leaders sweeping into power today are the opposite. They're the opposite of the God-fearing leaders that made the nation great. And then he gets into Isaiah 1 and how sick America is from head to toe, laden down or worn down by sin. And then I'll work my way to the conclusion here. He talks some about what my father said just 4 or 5 years ago, that had Hillary Clinton gotten into power, that would have been the end of our constitutional republic. And Mr. Hilliker says at the time, you know, you could have easily viewed that as an exaggeration. But look around. Look at what we're seeing today. Look at what you're hearing on the news. Look at what big tech is getting away with. He refers to a verse in the Psalms about how long will the wicked be able to triumph. That's in Psalm 94. How long will the wicked triumph? How long will this go on? Mr. Hilliker says, God is allowing it to continue to the point that it is absolutely clear. Nobody is going to save America. Nobody's going to do it. Only God is capable of turning this around. Only God can turn this around. And as he wrote in the trumpet brief, we are in deep. We're deep in miracle territory. It's going to take a miracle from God to save Israel, to save Manasseh, to have mercy on Manasseh, to extend the resurgence. It says, finally, Bible prophecy is sure, and this continues to inform the trumpet's view. The reason God held off the worst of the curses to befall Israel is that a few more events must first occur that have not yet happened. That's why, in the face of all evidence to the contrary, we remain confident that God will yet intervene. It says, finally, by all appearances, things in America have never looked darker, but a great deal of history and of prophecy shows that it is when things look darkest that God delivers his greatest miracles. That's from last night's trumpet brief. That'll be posted at the trumpet.com website today. Also, at the trumpet.com website, you can get to our live stream every day. Don't forget about this in case anything happens with YouTube. That's at thetrumpet.com/live. thetrumpet.com/live. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.